We present I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue, the antidote to panel games. At the piano is Colin Sell, and your chairman is Humphrey Littleton.
Thank you. Thank you, hello, and welcome to another program built on that great British principle which was such a success in the Titanic. I'll introduce the teams to you now. On my left are Barry Cryer and Graham Garden. On my right, Tim Brooke Taylor and William Rushton. Herein after known as Tim and Willie, which is rather sweet. During the...
suggestive.
Order, please. During the next half hour, they sort of play games and I kind of keep a score, which this week is going to be judged by the applause of our audience here in the studio, which is recorded on our gronometer. The first round we're going to play today is the one that's called It Has Been Said, or Ihibus. It's concerned with quotations, and I'll give each of you in turn an impossibly obscure quotation. I want you to identify its author and the circumstances under which it was said. Barry Cryer, we're starting with you, and here's your quotation. The human knee is a joint and not an entertainment.
Oh, too easy, too easy. I was there when this was said, actually, in the wardrobe. This was said by Kenneth McKellar to a very short television cameraman with a fetish. Not funny, but by God, it's true.
I can't improve on that. That's 5 marks. Actually, what he's got down here is Percy Hammond, who, as you know...
Which is Kenneth's other name, as you know, yeah. Humphrey, when he's on tour, just for safety's sake.
Willie Rushton.
Hello, dear.
I must have women. There is nothing unbends the mind like them.
Is that your order quotation? I'm sorry,
now you mentioned tax. Go ahead, that's the quotation.
I must have women... What did you say?
There is nothing unbends the mind like them.
Nothing unbends the mind. It was Yuri Geller... in a pathetic attempt to prove he isn't bent.
Well, actually...
Like his pork.
The answer, in fact, does improve on that, so I'm only going to give you 8.
Oh.
The answer's really unbelievable. John Gay.
Our founder.
Comes from the Beggar's Opera. The Beggar's Opera.
Well, it might. Yeah. Doesn't go back very often.
Graham Carden, here's your quotation. He was a handsome, well-shaped man, very good company, and of a very ready and pleasant, smooth wit.
Yes. He was a handsome, well-shaped man, very good company, a very ready and pleasant, smooth wit. Was said by Lytton Strachey, the biographer, or Strachey Lytton, of Wilde. Norman Wilde. Who was a handsome, well-shaped man. Well-shaped man meaning he had a sort of pointed head and a handle with a bucket on his head.
Yes, you had a certain amount of help in that one, so yeah. We'll give you 2.5.
She's 2.5 now.
For that. The answer, of course, which you got very close to, John Aubrey, speaking about Shakespeare. Tim Brooke Taylor, short, well. Sharp to the point, your quotation. I do love I know not what, sometimes this and sometimes that.
Your private life is your own concern. I do love I know not what, sometimes this and sometimes that. Peter Sellers? No, this was in fact Casanova's brother, little-known brother Cyril Casanova, who was extremely short-sighted and used to say, I do love, I know not what, sometimes this and sometimes that, but mostly that, he went on to say. And somebody else said it as well, I believe. Presumably I'm right, Humph?
To tell you the truth, I wasn't listening all that attentively, but... if you said Robert Herrick, which I think you did.
Herring, yes.
Yes, you're completely wrong.
I knew this.
No, right. For that, I can give you 1.5, because it brings the scores to the level, and it's much easier for me that way. So, right. This is where I introduce a round that's played at the end of the programme, and which everybody is familiar with, in order to give the teams time to think of the names for people arriving at the Common Market Ball. The Common Market Ball. And we always invite those of you, for some reason which I've never quite grasped, we invite those of you at home to join in this game. And we never know whether you do or not. We have a round now called Blues.
Anyway.
The Blues. You all know the rules of this one.
Oh.
For this round, each team will give the other the topic for a blues, which they must then improvise, accompanied by Colin Sell at the piano. And Tim and Willie, will you give to Graham and Barry the subject for a blues, please?
No.
Next round.
4 marks for that.
Willie, would you like to?
No, you would do
right.
It.
The public convenience blues.
Mine's not racing. Sophisticated.
Woke up this morning. I read an interesting piece of news. Oh, yes, I did. About this town in France who had two conveniences nobody knew which one to choose. To choose. So they labeled them Doms and Oms.
And they renamed the town to Lou.
Oh. Oh.
At which point Colin Sell enters the game with 12 points. Tim and Willie, you're going to sing a blues now, the subject of which will be given to you by Graham and Barry.
Oh, well, we'll keep the cross-channel flavour, the Concord Blues.
I woke up this morning.
Just thought you'd like to know.
My wife was complaining 'cause Concord was flying so low.
Just to change the subject,
I said, how about a... Dear? And she said, no.
And it says on the bottom of the card I've got here, 2 marks for wit, cleanliness and brevity. So that's 2 each. And we go on to the round, which is our ad-lib poem. The teams are going to make up a poem. Each team member must keep going until I press the buzzer, which sounds like that, as if you'd never heard the buzzer before. And then a member of the opposing team takes over. This goes on until we're all agreed that we've reached a natural conclusion, which is based on boredom and anything else you like. The first line of the poem will be taken up by Willie Rushton this week.
Sorry.
And I have to warn you each week, I forgot last week with disastrous results, but I have to warn you that any rudeness that enters into this is severely penalised.
Quite right.
Right.
Yeah.
William Rushton, your opening line of our poem this week. All who saw them were agreed, they made a perfect twosome.
All who saw them were agreed, they made a perfect twosome. Despite the fact that his were large and hers certainly gruesome. They both wore hats of different shapes. Delightful to the eye.
One green, one red, with a tinge of pink. And yet I can't deny the red one was a comely thing. A joy it was to behold. And yet, when I asked when he'd bought it, he said it was very old. He said he'd bought it before the war, on holiday in France.
He bought it, buying trousers and multicoloured pants. When I said red and green, I meant...
What did you mean, Jim?
What did you mean? Oh.
A comely pair...
That's two comelies.
Of buns.
Oh! Nurse, he's out of bed again.
The special sort they sell in France. Mostly ate by nuns. One was green and one was red. They wore them on their feet.
He's in a world of his own.
On their feet. You have the address of your chemist, don't you?
Most folk refrained from comment when they saw them in the street. But one fine day, as up the boulevard this pair did stride, a little child tugged his mother's arm, and this little fellow cried,
"Yeah, Mum!"
And all those people there are wearing on their feet, "Why, buns," she said, "you stupid kid," and knocked him across the street. Now that may strike you as unfair. It certainly struck him.
"Why are they red and green?" he said. "It's some peculiar whim," said Mother, with a strangled grunt.
Good luck.
"Of course they're green and red."
"I must take you right home at once, and thence I'll wash your head. I'll wash your legs and wash your arms and wash your hands as well."
"Careful."
I'll wash you, child, from top to toe."
"It will be bloody hell." "But you'll be clean, mon garçon," she did cry.
Who left the gas on?
I've lost the meter now.
Yes, sir. Quite honestly,
it's the man
to never
read
comes
it
back.
How pathetic that Graham should lose the meter at that stage.
Yeah.
We reached an artistic conclusion then, and the scores are now. The next round is a new one. This is a new round, which we haven't played before.
Oh.
That's why they refer to it here as a new one.
And won't again, I promise you.
It's called Straight Face. In this round, the aim is not to amuse the audience. Each panellist...
What is the difference between this and the other round?
We've got to buy into the final.
Each panellist, in turn, says a word. And the first one who gets a laugh from the studio audience is disqualified. The remaining three continue the game in rotation until only one survives. And to that one, I award a large number of marks. So you've all got something to work for. Cheating, in the form of telling jokes, will be heavily penalised.
And also
we're going to start with Graham Garden. You start with a word, and I shall keep an eagle eye on the audience. And one titter...
Who's running round the audience at the moment...
Cool
Spanish gentlemen.
Please, ladies and gentlemen,
do you
understand our predicament?
Graham Garden.
Brown.
Button.
I got a definite titter. Was it?
Made me laugh.
Will you speak a bit louder, please?
Sorry, Hump, I couldn't hear that.
You got a titter.
Oh, did I?
Ring the BMA
immediately. First one of the season.
Start a game with Tim. Compose yourselves, audience, because you're a very important part of this game. That's what they said.
Decorum, Tim.
Suit.
Turf.
Crematorium.
Oh,
And the kinkiest
I'll
audience...
use that again.
Always gets a laugh.
Oh. Let's put Willie Rushton out of the game.
Yes.
How sad.
Quite right.
So we now go to Barry Cryer. You start off, please.
Sandwich.
And that's you out.
I'm sorry, it's the old sandwich gag. I'm sorry. Yeah.
It's the way he tells it.
Am I out?
It's the bit in the middle that gets them.
The ham.
This is the moment of truth. We have a face-to-face
death.
Confrontation right. Between Timbrook Taylor and Graham Garp.
Not a pretty sight.
Barry, you've been disqualified not only from this game, but the next three, I tell you.
Sorry.
Right, now, steady on.
Right,
we'll start with Graham Garp.
Granite.
Football.
Go ahead, I didn't hear a thing.
Collar.
Ostracize.
Not a crematorium.
Then I win for being most boring.
Not yet.
Oh, right. Ostrich.
Pulsars.
Yeah, you're out, Tim. Sorry. Sorry about that.
The first person to say pulsars loses, apparently.
So Graham Garden's the winner, and he gets the point. And Timbrook Taylor's going to start our next round, which is the round which we call Double Feature. This round takes as its starting point the poverty of the international film industry. For economic reasons, new films have to be remakes of pairs of old films now. And I want to hear from the teams in turn the resulting titles, and I shall award... Oh, no, I'm not going to award points this time. It's getting boring. I shall award something else for anything approaching humour. Tim, will you start off with your pair of old films?
Yes. This is three films they've decided. They don't trust themselves with two. To help the world film industry, which is The Jolson Story, with Sparrows Can't Sing, and Gone with the Wind. This is to be retitled Earl Jolson Can't Sing with the Wind.
Barry Cryer.
Well, you forced me to tell you that the Chinese film industry and Mr. Run Run Shaw have decided to make a new blockbuster. They have to do, because their public, having seen one film half an hour later, they want to see another one. They've taken the best of King Kong, Hong Kong Story, Kung Fu, Gung Ho, The Long Day, or Longest Day, sorry, wrong number, Terror of the Tongs, Sing You Sinners, On a Wing and a Prayer, The Dalton Gang, and Bang You're Dead. And they've called the new film King Kong Hong Song Kung Gung Long Rong Dong Sing Wing Gang Bang.
Willie Rushton?
They're doing a very cheap remake of The Towering Inferno by rubbing two bits of Pinocchio and Natalie Wood together.
Graham, that leaves you.
I've heard of a new starring vehicle for Telly Savalas. They've combined A Fine Madness with Hedda Gabler and Hair and come up with A Fine Head of Hair.
Well, now we move on to a round which is, I've been told, extremely popular with listeners to radios 1, 2, and 3. And this is a musical round, and I'm going to ask you to sing a snatch of grand opera from a selected passage accompanied by Colin Sell at the piano. And we're going to start with Graham and Barry, and your passage, Graham and Barry, comes from an extract from a Victorian cookery book, the section on food for invalids and infants. I've got your words here, Russell, Russell, Russell.
Oh, yes.
There we are. Okay, Colin.
I'll start.
Many kinds of fruit may be given to the sick,
grapes are generally welcome, but should not be given in cases where the swallowed pips might cause perforation of the bowel. Unless someone will undertake to free the fruit from seeds and pips.
From seeds and pips.
From seeds and pips.
From seeds and pips.
And pips and pips and pips. To free the fruit from seeds and pips.
Seeds and pips.
And pips and pips.
Seeds and pips.
Seeds and pips.
And pips.
And pips.
Pip, 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 pip,
pip.
Here is the news.
Right, Tim and Willie, I've got your words here. Yours come from a 1783 manual of weapon drill, and I have to remind our audience that in the 18th century, the letter S was written as an F.
Come on! Handle your cartridge! Handle your cartridge! Bring your right hand, smart! Down to your pouch.
Down to your pouch.
And flapping it hard.
Flapping it hard.
Feeze your cartridge.
Sorry? Oh, feeze your cartridge.
Which bring quick to your mouth.
Bring quick to your mouth.
And bite the top well off.
And bite the top well off.
Ah!
Come on! Shut your pans.
Shut my pans?
Shut the pan briskly.
Ram down your cartridge.
Ram down your cartridge.
Ram the cartridge well down the barrel. Ha, 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 ha. Instantly recovering and feezing the rammer backhanded. Turning it.
Turning it.
Turning it. Yes, let's stop.
And placing the sore finger, for the sore finger, close down on the butt end of the rammer of the rammer. Less. Less, considerably less.
Right, that brings us to the last game, which is the one that I always look forward to, because for the next 3.5 days, the teams will give you their suggestions for the arrivals at the Common Market Ball. Who's going to open the ball?
First to arrive, ladies and gentlemen, a profound burst of apathy, if you will, for Mr. and Mrs. Ryder and their son, EEC Ryder.
Thank you.
Despite your excitement, retain your places, please, at the entry of Mr. and Mrs. Lux Countries and their son, Benny Lux.
Closely behind them, glimpsed in the lobby, Mr. and Mrs. Fy the Treaty of Rome and their singularly unpopular son, known to us all as Ratty Fy the Treaty of Rome.
Taisez-vous, s'il vous plaît.
Oh, honey, huh?
Could shut
for
up
our
as
next
well.
Guests, Mr. and Mrs. Recultural Policy and their vulgar daughter, Agnes, better known perhaps as Common Aggie Recultural Policy.
Mr. and Mrs. Butter's Best with their playful son, Aussie Butter's Best. Mr. and Mrs. Ways Not In Your Book and their charming daughter, Nora Ways Not In Your Book. I don't understand that one.
Will you welcome, please, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. and Mrs. Dumb and their ecclesiastical son, Rev. R.N. Dumb.
Oh, yes.
Not to mention Anne Twerp.
I wish you hadn't.
Suspend, if you will, your critical faculties.
But mind the dancers.
As we welcome the arrival of French, Frank, German, Mark, and Dutch Gilda.
Oh.
And, of course, Mr. and Mrs. reaches new low, and their son Sterling reaches new low.
Excellent.
Tactfully recommends dancing, ladies and gentlemen, at the entry of Mr. and Mrs. O. German Pact and their son Frank. While still in France, will you welcome, please?
I wish I was.
I'm
leaving now.
Will you welcome, please, Mr. and Mrs. Sequoia and their daughter Jenny Sequoia?
Mr. and Mrs. What about food prices and their son Bert? What about food prices?
At which point, ladies and gentlemen?
Mr. and Mrs.
Don't stop him.
I hoped you would stop me, Humphrey. Mr. and Mrs. Saye is better known perhaps as Pa and Ma Saye.
Herr and Frau Ich liebe, with their son Richard, who can be found in the Hamburg phone book under Ich liebe Dick.
And give him a call.
In a similar moot, will you welcome, please, Herr and Frau Untblitzen and their daughter Donna Untblitzen. Merci, monsieur.
Oh, danke schön.
Monsieur.
At which point the...
Mr. and Mrs. negotiate the terms of entry and their daughter Renee negotiate the terms of entry.
At this point, ladies and gentlemen, the chronometer having burst into flames, it's time to tell you the final score. But nobody told me at the beginning that you're supposed to keep the score vertically and not horizontally. So somebody has scored 42,126,570.
Chinese.
And I'd like to add my congratulations to that and say we'll see you next week. Goodbye now.
Barry Cryer, Graham Garden, Tim Brooke Taylor and William Rushton were being given Silly Things to Do by Humphrey Littleton, with Colin Sell setting some of them to music. The programme was produced by Simon Brett.